Recorded Books and RB Digital present The Birthday of the World by Ursula K. Le Guin, narrated by Christina Moore. Forward. Inventing a universe is tough work. Jehovah took a sabbatical. Vishnu takes naps. Science fiction universes are only tiny bits of word worlds, but even so, they take some thinking, and rather than think out a new universe for every story, a writer may keep coming back and using the same universe, sometimes till it gets a bit worn at the seams, softens up, feels natural, like an old shirt. Though I've put a good deal of work into my fictional universe, I don't exactly feel that I invented it. I blundered into it, and have been blundering around in it unsystematically ever since, dropping a millennium here, forgetting a planet there. Honest and earnest people, calling it the Hainish universe, have tried to plot its history onto timelines. I call it the Ecumen, and I say it's hopeless. Its timeline is something like the kitten pulled out of the knitting basket, and its history consists largely of gaps. There are reasons for this incoherence, other than authorial carelessness, forgetfulness, and impatience. Space, after all, is essentially gap. Inhabited worlds are a long, long way apart. Einstein said people couldn't travel faster than light, so I generally let my people travel only nearly as fast as light. This means that whenever they cross space, they scarcely age, thanks to Einsteinian time dilation, but they do end up decades or centuries after they set out, and can only find out what happened meanwhile back on the farm by using my handy device, the Ansible. It's interesting to think that the Ansible is older than the internet and faster. I do let information travel instantaneously. So in my universe, as in this one, now here is then there, and vice versa, which is a good way to keep history from being either clear or useful. Of course, you can ask the Hainish, who have been around for a long time, and whose historians not only know a lot of what happened, but also know that it keeps happening and will happen again. They're somewhat like Ecclesiastes, seeing no new thing under thee or any sun, but they're much more cheerful about it than he was. The people on all the other worlds, who all descended from the Hainish, naturally don't want to believe what the old folks say, so they start making history, and so it all happens again. I did not plan these worlds and people. I found them, gradually, piecemeal, while writing stories. I'm still finding them. In my first three science fiction novels, there is a league of worlds, vaguely embracing known planets in our local bit of the local galaxy, including Earth. This rather suddenly morphs into the Ecumen, a non-directive, information-gathering consortium of worlds, which occasionally disobeys its own directive to be non-directive. I had met the Greek word meaning household, oikoumene, as in ecumenical, in one of my father's anthropology books, and remembered it when I needed a word that might imply a still wider humanity spread out from one original hearth. I spelled it ecumen, E-K-U-M-E-N. If you write science fiction, you can spell things the way you like, sometimes. The first six of these eight stories take place on worlds of the Ecumen, in my pseudo-coherent universe with holes in the elbows. In my 1969 novel, The Left Hand of Darkness, the first voice is that of a mobile of the Ecumen, a traveler, making a report back to the Stabiles, who stay put on Hain. This vocabulary came to me along with the narrator. He said his name was Genli I. He began telling the story, and I wrote it. Gradually, and not easily, he and I found out where we were. He had not been on Gethin before, but I had, in a short story, Winter's King. That first visit was so hurried, I hadn't even noticed there was something a bit weird about Gethinian gender, just like a tourist. Androgynes? Were there androgynes? During the writing of Left Hand, pieces of myth and legend came to me as needed when I didn't understand where the story was going.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?